All right, welcome to the Dadpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Oliveira. Today, I'm like super excited about our guest because he checks every box, like super entrepreneur, super dad. He's got so many things going on. Him and I were talking about this before the podcast. I want to welcome Josh Carmona, also known as Crisco Kid, to the podcast.
You're even getting a sound effect today, man.
I'm gonna lean on you because you're the radio pro. You've got the voice, you've got the energy. So you're gonna school us on that today.
Well, normally it's reversed, right? So that's what's so cool for today. Hey, before we even start, thank you so much for having me on. I've been watching the podcast for a minute, and I love the conversation, love the dialogue that you're having with all your guests. And did you shave for me, or what is going on here?
I did.
Clean shave.
I get that question in the last week or so. I'm like, you know, I was just tired of the beard for a while, so I shaved, but I'm gonna have it back pretty soon. Yeah.
All right. There we go. Get your winter coat back. You gotta get your winter coat, man.
You know, shaves off a few years, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're right. It does, man. It does.
So we're both dads. We're both entrepreneurs. You know, your resume, your bio reads like, forget about it. I mean, you're doing so much. Obviously, you've been in radio for over two decades.
Yeah.
Then you kind of pivoted to also doing real estate. You got a ton of side hustles, which you're going to talk to us about. But you also coach your son's flag football team. Is that right?
Yeah.
So tell us how you manage all that.
Time. You hear the term like life balance. You hear another term. Time management and whatever other kind of trendy terms we may throw out there. But it really is just prioritizing moments. Mm-hmm. And I say moments because I'm looking every day to have at least two or three moments that I know can either impact people around me or that can be meaningful to myself in some way. So I look for those moments. And so if I can schedule my day to know that, okay, I want to get, you know, real estate or anything that requires a lot of mental work, I try to do in the morning, especially after reading that, like, I think 10 o'clock is like your peak performance time. So between like 8:45 to 11:30, I'm focused on doing the things that take the most mental load, right? And that's after we take the kids to school or taking my son to school, you know, I'm going to the gym and then I'm focused on what I need to be doing. Then after that, it comes like, how am I prepping for the rest of the day or how am I prepping for my show? I'm looking for content. I'm scrolling just to see like, what is topical, what's trending, what's local, and what can have like, again, the word impact or what's meaningful or what can create those moments throughout the day, because that's probably what I'm going to talk about on my show every afternoon. And so even though we're not a talk show, you know, radio format, we play a lot of music, we do throwbacks, you know, every afternoon, it's the magic that happens between the records. And I take that time and I try to be as efficient as I can with my words to have a reason or bring value so that way people listening can A, have a good time, they'll get some cool information, and also listen to their favorite music at the same time. And then after that, you know, come on home, spend the family time, and that's on days that I'm not at school. And so, you know, we just find ways to work and make it work, man.
Yeah. And so I read that too, that you're back in college again, pursuing your master's. Talk to me about that experience. Cause being a, you know, very present dad, husband, and then doing the radio, real estate, you are doing a lot of different things. So time management is important. Right. Like, talk to me about going back to school. What are some of the challenges there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, going back to school has been a rewarding experience so far. And that is because, I guess the motivation to go to ASU was, I ran for mayor of the city of Phoenix in 2020. That's a whole different story. You know, we can talk about that later or not, but, you know, I knew I wasn't going to win, but it was what I wanted to do with my platform.
I love it.
As far as getting people registered to vote, create awareness on what is happening and why aren't these issues being addressed. And I did that. So to me, I feel like we won because I have countless DMs of people saying, not only did I register to vote, I actually voted. And that felt good just to participate in that process. But
can you talk to me about that real quick, Crisco? Because I think it's something that is so important, especially for entrepreneurs and people who are busy. Because you said, well, even though we didn't win, it doesn't really matter. It's the process that you went through. So my main question for you is like, did you grow from that?
Of course.
So you won. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think often people don't pursue those big, like what they're called, big, hairy, audacious goals, the BHAGs, because they're like, well, I probably, who cares? Right. If you don't win on the scoreboard, but you went through the journey, you grew.
Right. And that's what it was about, you know, and I definitely think it was, I guess the word beneficial makes sense because it benefited me personally for the growth. And by doing that, it can help me professionally because I can help the communities. Now I'm able to sit at different tables. I have different conversations. My emails change, looks different now because I can have this dialogue among city leaders, not just in the city of Phoenix, but, you know, one of my mentors is the city manager in Glendale. And so when you're able to like sit and have these conversations and learn from their experience and their expertise, that's amazing to me. And it only helps me become better, you know, on the professional side, as far as in the business world. It may not impact me on air as much, but I wouldn't even say that because I'm able to inform my listener and we're able to do one-offs or we're able to do pop-ups or we're able to do community events where I can share some of the knowledge or I can do toy drives. I can do different rebuilding and revitalizing different community centers because of these relationships that I've built since 2020. So it all kind of wraps in full circle. And I think the smart people or the people that gain wisdom or, the, you know, I read a book by Shirley MacLaine once called Saging While Aging. And I thought that was key to, you know, not only are you going to get older, but sage with it. You know what I mean? Get a little wisdom with it. You know, you can grow old and remain uneducated or remain ignorant. And some people, they do that by choice. That's not cool. That's not right. So why not get older, but grow with grace and understand more of what you're taking in? And is it junk or is it useful? And so it's all wrapping in together, man. And that is part of the reason going back to school, because if I ever wanted to pursue public administration or run for another office or help a campaign or, you know, I'm kind of low-key consulting, you know, different public administrations around the valley on how they can fundraise or how they can take their community events to a different level. So that's going back to school for my master's in public administration and in public policy. It has helped me get the knowledge, you know, and disseminate it to different people and to different companies, organizations, and city governments.
Man, I love it. That is so inspiring, and I'm sure it's inspiring to your family, to your son.
I hope so, because they're mad sometimes if I'm not home at night. I'm like, I got to get to school, man. I got to do homework.
Yeah. But that's cool, man. I love that. But you also have, you talked about the community. I looked at your content. Your YouTube is super, super dope. I mean, anybody who hasn't looked at your YouTube, once they go on there, they're going to see that first interview with Anita, which I'm also from Brazil. So as soon as I saw the interview with her, I was like, oh, Valley she's Funk, talking about.
Yeah.
I loved it, man. By the way, you are such a great host. I mean, your energy and like how you pull. That's why I was like, I found myself watching. Like typically if I have a guest on the podcast here, I'll spend about a half an hour reading their bio, learning about them. But your content, honestly, I was like, oh, okay, I like that. I'm like, hold on a second. I'm interviewing him, not supposed to be just like absorbing his content, but your content is good, man.
Thank you. And that, you know, that means a lot. I appreciate that because I think as content creators, sometimes we get in ruts and I haven't been as active as I wanted to be this year. I have 3 or 4 interviews that I haven't even put out with like Little Rob. I was supposed to have Smokey Robinson. I have a Carlos Santana interview that I need to drop. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Yeah. And It weighs on you sometimes when you don't get the results on social media or on YouTube sometimes, and it kind of gets you down. And so I got the position of that a couple months ago, and I had to figure out the return on investment. I think as content creators, we do look at that at some
point. Absolutely, monetization.
Like, I got to care about putting out a great product on air first and foremost, because I'm a radio personality, a host. Everything that I have is, I don't say dependent, but it is built on a strong foundation in radio. And so I have to make sure that I can continually be number one in this demographic, or at least top 3 in this one, or top 5 in this one. So that's the main focus to me when I'm on the air and when I'm building radio. The additional content, I look at it as to like contribute to that, or can I gain another listener? Or because the Anita interview, that's on Pitbull's Globalization. And so I'm looking at terrestrial radio, that content, the way I'm on the air, is a little different than what I do for SiriusXM and working with Pitt and those different artists. And so it's finding the differences in how to communicate to 2 different audiences, but then also putting out that content that I feel like I know people that listen to Sirius are listening a little longer and they want more of the in-depth discovery of what's happening with their favorite artists versus on terrestrial radio, you're listening kind of for like quick, or oh that was funny, funny guy, you know what I mean? Or, oh man, that's sad, oh, dude, man. Oh, wait, who's got a discount today? And so understanding the difference in how to communicate a same message is very important. And so the YouTube is more for the people that were listening to SiriusXM or they're looking for just a little bit more in-depth conversation with some of their favorite artists and some of their favorite comedians or different other personalities, so.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because, of course, this pop culture, social media, technology, all of that, it, to your point, it gets people down because I do marketing in my day job, my agency, and I have brands and clients, executives who are like, oh, we're not getting traction. I said, like, you guys are worried about vanity metrics. Like, if you're growing, you're growing. And here's the deal. When you put out that organic content, if you're not doing paid ads, you're doing organic content, ultimately, like, to your point, you're going to gain some new eyeballs. And if you focus on what you said, which is the quality, even if it's like 50 views, but if they were the right 50 views, I'd rather have that than a million whatever views. Because I had someone on the podcast here multiple times, Crisco, and she's a big influencer, works with big brands, whatnot. You know, it's like she said, even if you go viral, millions of views for one piece of content, it's just for that moment because everybody's moving so fast. So, you know, her advice is like, don't obsess with those metrics.
Right.
I know it gets back to what you said. You still got to make money. So that's important, monetization.
But I don't think even monetize like on social media. So like, I don't even, the monetization of content online, I don't even worry about that. Right. Because some of the artists, or I might play a song, or there may be something that conflicts. We're like, well, we would do it, but are you making money on it or this and that? So I look at it as just, it's just bonus content. And maybe I should be monetizing. I don't know. But I just give it to people just because I feel like I say, it could reach a different audience. And you said whether it's 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, whoever may be viewing, I think that's one thing that I do pride myself on. There's other personalities that have, you know, 800,000 people or 1.2 million or at least 200,000 or whatever it might be. But I think we have a solid quality group of people. And I don't want to say fan base, but just listenership or viewership or supporters that can help make a difference in other people's lives by watching the video. So that's what I do. I'm so grateful to everyone that watches or listens because they have the ability to make impact somehow.
So it's 101.1 Bounce, right?
Yeah. Yep. Right here locally.
So you were in radio in Dallas before you moved to Phoenix, right?
So the story is Houston. That's where I'm originally from. I went from Houston to Albuquerque.
Okay.
Back to Houston. Back to Albuquerque, to LA, Dallas, and okay. Now Phoenix.
Oh, no. Man, you like Albuquerque and you like Houston. That's what I know.
Yeah. I love, you know, there's been something great for every city. Every city, I think the culture, professionally, just personally, there's something that each city has like either probably taught me along the way. There's okay. Great relationships that I've had along the way. But just even the culture, like living in Dallas, Texas is, trust me, totally different than living in Houston, Texas. But then, you know, LA, there's some parts that might be similar to Dallas. So some people say they might be kind of like sister cities, like Houston and the Bay have a lot in common. And Phoenix is kind of like, it's its own just kind of little hub right here. I mean, we're the fifth largest city in America. And people don't really understand that. They're like, wait, what? Phoenix, Arizona? I'm like, yeah, bruh. You know, New York, LA, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix. And so when you really understand the value that we have in the Valley of the Sun, yeah, you know, we got great weather. It's not the whole West Coast on the coast weather, but it is good weather here, except for when it's like melting hot. It's still developing. Being in real estate, I've seen a lot of opportunity, a lot of growth since 2017 when I got my license. And to where 2023, moving into 24, I mean, you're still seeing ample room for growth. And it's been trying to find a balance of not, you know, you've seen the shirts, different people that are like, hey, don't California my Texas or don't California my Arizona. And I think a lot of that, you know, not without going into politics, I think as far as, you know, the economic policies or just the culture, I think when people say that sometimes too, it means don't bring a lot of stuff from the outside, from anywhere, that's going to change the great things that we have here, unless you want to contribute positively. So I think sometimes, right, instead of looking at it in a negative connotation, you know, you moved here for a reason, and that's to enjoy the things that this city or any other city has to offer.
So I have to imagine, like, your day, you're meeting with different people in the community, because I know you have a nonprofit. So you're doing, like, right now these toy drives, and I've seen you at a dealership getting presented with a check. So you're working with, you know, everyday people in the community because you're trying to help them. And then you're in real estate. That's a completely different audience. And then you are on radio, which is a lot of celebrity, right? So a lot of the interviews you do, famous people, whatnot. How do you stay, like, you know, it's not even about staying grounded, but you're switching all the time, which it must be incredibly difficult.
You know, the one thing is just to be you. And that's what I am. And there's no people like, say something in your radio voice, or, hey, man, say something funny, or just do it, you know, say, hey, I'm like, yeah. It's the same thing as I'm talking right now. It's just louder, or it may be faster.
Right.
But it's still me. You know, there's certain things that I just may pull back or don't think is appropriate or whatever for on air that I might say in conversation, because I can have multiple contexts with it. You can understand my full conversation. But other than that, it's still me. And when I host for the Cardinals, you know, on those home games, that's even cooler because, you know, I get to, you know, even when I'm out places, I get to, you know, run into people, like even trick or treating in my neighborhood. You know, I was looking at my girl and we're like, what the heck? People are just coming. Hey, man, you're the Cardinals guy. Or, hey, what's your name? And, you know, I'm introducing myself. Or, hey, aren't you a friend? It's just like, right. But, and it's that, those moments, and especially at the Cardinals games where I'm running into different listeners and then getting new listeners because of that. And it all works together. And in real estate, it all comes from a passion, or like the mission to genuinely help people. And I think that when you do that, or when you're trying to inform people or educate people or whatever it might be, help people, you can truly be you and be fluid amongst the different things that you're trying to do. Even when we had a restaurant, you know, it was a short-lived run, maybe only 4 months, the pandemic hit, and we actually December, about 6-7 months. And we tried to stay, you know, open as long as we could. But unfortunately, we didn't have anything from 2019 to show that we had significant loss to be able to get any funding or any help. So we had to shut the doors. We, you know, we tried to stay open as long as we could. But while we were staying open after March through that July, feeding John C. Lincoln Hospital, any first responders, any kids in the neighborhood that needed meals, we knew we weren't going to make any money. And you know, anybody that donated any money, we were able to take that and then get the meals or whatever and give out to different people for free. So again, it's more of the community. And when you truly care about your community, they'll have your back. And they'll be able to just push you as long as you can or as long as they can. And that's all I've ever just appreciated and wanted and respect. And again, it's that full circle.
I love that approach. And I hear it and I see that, how sincere you are about it, because whether you're talking about, I don't even know about this monetization on YouTube. I mean, you could be monetizing, which a lot of the creators are, you know, constantly trying to count the ways that they can, you know, rack up more money. Meanwhile, you've got all these things going on. You're going back, you know, you're back in school, you've got a family, you're doing all this, but you're still doing that give back without. And I think that's so important. It's something that I think is not taught in entrepreneurship. I talk to a lot of MBA students and entrepreneurial programs around the country. It's, and you know this, even out there in Silicon Valley, everything is the bottom line. It's like, how can we raise X amount? Every presentation you see in a startup, or if you see Shark Tank, it's like, how do I get to 100 million? Everybody's magic number is 100 million. And it's like, what? But you're not talking about how you're going to serve people, how your product is going to make things better. And I definitely have a problem with that, because I don't live my life that way either, Crisco. And I think that for a lot of people, that's not, why don't you care about the money? I do care about the money. Believe me, I'm not like doing work for free all day. However, I do have to have certain things that make a bigger impact in this world than just another transaction. And I see that you're doing that. So to me, you're such a great example for entrepreneurs out there who are like just focusing on making money. And if you just keep focusing on that, I just don't think that that's a good way to live. You know what I mean?
Oh, Alex, you hit it on the head, man. That's exactly right. And like I was saying, you know, with the restaurant towards the very end, this is during the summer when there was you know, George Floyd, there was Asian hate, or Stop Asian Hate campaigns because of what was happening, and also food vendor violence, right? And so you saw a lot of people just running up and beating up food vendors, which is still going on right now, by the way. And it's just, so we did a thing called Food Vendor Strong, or Street Food Vendor Strong. I forget the title, sorry. But the point was, we opened up our parking lot. We knew it was going to be the last weekend we were going to be able to be open. And so we just said, hey, they're like, well, how much do we owe, or what's the fee to be? I'm like, no, man, bring your carts. If you had a pop-up tent, if you had a food truck, it didn't matter. We're going to, you know, we can only accept so many, though, because of parking lot size and where would people park. But that's what I mean. You have to be tapped in with the community, understand what is going on. And because of that food truck festival that we did, just in our little small parking lot, it really helped jumpstart other events that happened just like that for the rest of the summer. And there's still people kind of doing that to this day. Different little food. I mean, I'm not saying we developed that whole theory, right,
but you were involved. Like,
kind of jumpstart something to where you can be more open to approaching people to say, let's just do this and let's do it ourselves, or let's just get it together, right? Yeah. And that meant a lot. And you're right. It's just truly giving back and embracing the community. And thank God, though, that this is why I empathize for a lot of mom and pops and other small or local business that they've given all their life savings to open that restaurant. And they've done everything they can to do this small sneaker shop or whatever it might be that they're doing. Thank God I was able to still, you know, I'm a radio personality. So I was able to still get income in every day. And my girl was just a boss handling the restaurant when I couldn't get in. I mean, she made sure that she really kept that restaurant going. And so I appreciate her so much, Brenda. And she was really the force that kept doing everything while I could not be there, right? Our son was even walking around at 2, you know, just, hey, you know, talking on his microphone, hosting different people. But that's why I sympathize and I empathize, because I feel and I understand what it went to, the process of going through being a small franchise or a small shop and doing everything you can to kind of keep it going as long as you can. So when I see people that need a little help like that, I think it's just in the entrepreneurial spirit that we should all be helping each other and kind of push those people as best as we can.
I love it, man. You're definitely living that. In terms of the restaurant, though, because I know on your video on 101 Bounce, you talk about the food, right? How one of your favorite things is food. And it was even funny. You were like, the smell and, you know, the taste and the presentation. Yeah. So what type of food was it? And what is your favorite food?
So it was called Famous Churros. And so, you know, yeah, man, we didn't reinvent the churro. It was nothing like that, you know.
Yeah.
But we just presented it in a different way.
Different fillings?
I'm sorry?
Is it like different fillings?
No, it's just the vibe that you got while walking in. Right. It's the way we did, like, loops. And so instead of doing, like, necessarily the big loops you might see at places, we did some smaller loops and we put them in a basket, like serving fries. And then we had like 3 different sauces you can get with the basket. We also did like our churro sundaes. We also had what people really love. It was our bacon churro cheeseburger.
Ooh.
Imagine that. So 2 churro buns.
You said bacon. You had me at bacon, bro.
Thank you. I feel the same way. We even put a bacon flag on the top. So the bacon churro cheeseburger, and during March 9th for Biggie, we doubled it. So it was the Biggie bacon churro cheeseburger.
Nice.
We also had our Ring of Fire churro chicken sandwich. And
oh,
so,
my God.
So when you take, when you're doing things that, we gave, like I said, we didn't reinvent it. We just presented it in a different way.
In a different way, the vibe,
savories, anything that you could do with a donut, we did with our churro roll, like our buns.
Like
so
we
glazed them. During Valentine's Day, we had a churro bouquet. So it was like our 16-inch sticks that were dripped and glazed in red, pink, white, you know, confetti, edible, like everything, and presented it like a bouquet of flowers.
I like it, man.
And then we had special guests. So anybody doing an album release or a listening session, we hosted those in our restaurant as well, because it's music. So we had different plaques on the wall. We had different paintings of different artists. So it was, like I said, it was just a different experience. And on Sunday, we had a churro brunch. So we had a churro bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. We had, instead of chicken and waffles, we had chicken and churros. So we really did a lot. And people are like, when are you going to bring it back? I'm like, man, my focus just isn't right in that right now. But it's definitely something that we still want to do.
Yeah, down the road. And then one more thing you said, too, that you're, as far as like, other than all that you're doing, is family and travel are 2 things that you love doing. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, just We'll start with travel right quick. I've been, you know, DJing at an early age has just, I mean, my first international gigs were doing spring breaks in Mexico. And so, yeah, just crossing the border, we would go to South Padre Island. So Houston, you know, South Padre Island, yep. There you crossing to Matamoros and just wild out, right? And so those were my first experiences. I had no business DJing in those clubs, really, but I would just show up with records, a record bag and a CD case and be like, yo, yeah, man, they told me to show up here. I'm supposed to go on, I think, at midnight or 1 o'clock.
Just hustling.
You know, going on, man. Yeah, man, from Houston. Yeah, no, they have me down here. And that's how it was. I used to DJ the first time in Cancun. I DJed. We just took a trip. And I ended up saying, yeah, man, I'm here. I showed up. I had my friends carry a couple of record crates. Because this, it wasn't no just show up with your laptop.
Right.
I'm carrying records, like crates.
Yeah, back in the days. I remember, man.
I went to the airport. Yeah. And so I'm showing up. They're like, well, damn, who's showing up with records to the club unless they're supposed to play? And so that's how I got my first opportunity in Cancun. And then I was invited out for Texas Week after that for the next couple of summers. Then, you know, DJing in Malaysia and did a tour in Bangkok and just so many different, Amsterdam and just, so, man, travel is just...
I like that how you pivoted that. Well, not pivoted, but included that travel and pursuing a career in something, right? My son, my 13-year-old, is pursuing a career in music. So what advice would you give to someone that's pursuing a career in music or the arts? Because it looks like you did it in a very bold way.
But that's it. Be bold. Dream big and be bold. That's exactly what it is.
Go after it. Just go after it.
And you got to position yourself to where you want to be. That's when everybody's like, how do you be in radio? Or how'd you get to this and that? I'm like, I've always, people, you know, they'll say like, damn, you did that? I turned 21, I think 3 times at one nightclub. And they were like, wait, I thought you turned 21 last year. No. And I just used to show up to different clubs in Houston. And I was known for my little red backpack. Show up with my backpack. And I would buy multiple subscriptions to record pools just so I could have more records to show up to the clubs and say, I'm giving the DJ some promo records.
Nice.
And that's how I was able to get into all these different nightclubs. But I knew I wanted to DJ. I knew I wanted to be in radio. And so I started positioning myself around other DJs who were already doing what I wanted to do. I started throwing my own parties at the end of my junior year, or during my junior year, my senior year, I'm buying ads on the radio to fill up banquet halls. And so I knew, though, that probably since kindergarten, I wanted to do radio. But I always try to do something that would get me closer to work with some of my either mentors or people I just wanted to be like on the radio, to where a position where, you know, these were my peers by the time I was 19 years old, maybe even earlier than that.
Wow, man, that's incredible. That's incredible. That's good advice. How about on family then? What's that? Because everything kind of just comes right back to family, right? You being a dad, a husband.
Yeah. I mean, just family is... People, it's cliche, but family really is everything, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's the family you're given or the family you create. And I feel like people don't like family you create. What? Yeah. You know, the people that are around you, we have friends, but then we have those people that are more than friends. They become like your,
100%.
Yeah. And I think those are the people that when you talk about family you create, that's family you create. Because there's sometimes where everyone has friends that probably know more about you than your own family.
Absolutely.
And so when you build that, you build your lion's pride or whatever you want to call your, you know, your group of people around you, that's got to be that emotional support. That's got to be that strength to support, to where if you're not getting something, you it feels good to know that you can fall back and you can be vulnerable. If you can't be vulnerable with certain people in your life that's supposed to be your family or the family you create, then they may not be in that best role for you, because you have to be vulnerable. Everyone has to. And I know sometimes people put up these shields and they're like, nobody can see me in this light, but that's just not realistic. And it's not healthy mentally or physically, because everything that happens up here affects your body, right?
No doubt.
And that's just mental, physical. I'm not even talking about spiritual yet, because when you start going into that realm and you start talking about different like soul partners, and when you hear the term soulmate, it doesn't mean that like that's your lover. It can mean somebody that's supposed to be in your soul circle.
And 100.
And if you're lucky enough in life to find not only like good friends and people on this plane, but when you can find people like in your spirit circle, your soul circle, if you're able to find both of those people in your life,
yep.
Man, that's when things start aligning.
And you know, when we have a saying in Portuguese, we say, you know, when you go with someone's face, just meaning like you have a connection, right? But it's not just a face, it's that ultimate connection. And I remember going back to like even high school, I was always, you know, had this energy with older people, people that are like 2-3 times older than me. Until this day, I would say like in my circle of like best friends, at least 5 of them are north of like 70, 80 years old. Not just as a mentor, but just like as a friend. And we could talk about anything. And it's like, man, you just have that connection. You don't know where it came from, but from day one, when you met, you were like, we were like twins somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. And that's why you're here. Like, you know, well, you know, we're physical beings that have spiritual experiences, or are you a spiritual being that has physical experiences? And either way, how you look at it, when you can appreciate, or when you see and you can realize what is happening, you have to take advantage of those moments, and you have to enjoy and embrace those people, because there might be sometimes people are just around and you're like, I don't know why they're around, but they always happen to be somewhere at the right time. And that's, that, you know, whatever anybody's belief is, but if you look at the spiritual aspect, it's probably because they were supposed to be in your spirit circle at one point, or they were before. And yeah. That's a whole, you know, there's a lot in his head, right?
That's another episode. But listen, man, everything that you brought to the show today, I know our listeners who are entrepreneurs, busy parents, those that want to be an entrepreneur and are feeling like overwhelmed, everything that you brought to the table, no doubt, I think is going to give them inspiration. We encourage them to look at your social media channels, the YouTube, all the stuff that you're doing. I'm sure we're going to have you back at some point. Maybe when you graduate, we'll do like a big party for you.
Yeah, there you go. Next semester.
But absolutely, Josh, Crisco Kid, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Dad, and let me just say this on the web, if you don't mind. Dads, you know, I have this thing on Sundays, and I do it once a month. It's called Sunday. And it doesn't matter if you put the Sunday or the Sunday first, S-O-N like or S-U-N, it doesn't matter. But I do it on the air, and I do it in real life. And I think, dads, let's do a better job if you're not already, or even if you're doing a great job, let's all try to be better, because you can always better your best, right? And I think let's be present more for our sons. Another reason I love going back to school right now is because he can see me as a role model. When I say, let's do some homework, he knows that I'm doing homework too. And I've always told him, even though he's 5, I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done, or I'm not going to do, or I wouldn't do. And so I think that's a positive thing. So your son, and I'm only speaking on son because I have a son, but he can see what I'm doing, right? And so be more present and just create these opportunities, whether it's once a month, that works for me, but that he knows that this day, that this morning, this brunch, or this movie, or we might take a trip somewhere, that it's about him. And I think we have to have more fathers. I'm not excluding moms, I'm sorry, but this day to encourage more men, or people who identify as men, just to be more present in their kids' lives that day.
I love it, man. I love it. That's a great way to wrap up on a positive note. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me, man. I'll talk soon.